Before we get into today's episode, I want to invite you on a unique spiritual journey this Advent season. It's called Journey to Bethlehem, and it's a free 9-day text message series designed to prepare your heart for Christmas. Starting on December the 17th, and each day leading up to Christmas, you'll receive a short reflective message pointing you to the hope, peace, joy, and love found in the coming of Christ. It's completely free and a great way to keep your focus on Jesus this season. Sign up today at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. And now here's today's podcast.
Hello, unbelievable listeners. Mike Bird here from the Ask NT Write Anything podcast. We've got a little Christmas cracker for you. This is a taste of another show you might enjoy, Ask NT Write Anything, a show where listeners bring their toughest nitty-gritty Bible questions to the one and only Tom Wright. Now, many skeptics and atheists tell us that they still love singing Christmas carols, even if they're not sure that they believe them. So while I was with Tom in London recently, I asked him a slightly mischievous question. Are some of our best-loved Christmas carols actually saying things that are, well, theologically dodgy? The answers Tom gave might surprise you. Anyway, have a listen, let us know what you think, and if you've got questions about the Bible, faith, or the Christmas story itself, go to asknt.com. That'll be the place to post them, and Tom and I will do our best to answer them. Until then, have a great Christmas.
The Ask NT Write Anything podcast.
Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of Ask NT Write Anything. The episodes where we do deep dives into the Bible, theology, and hot topics of the day. And today the hot topic is Christmas hymns, the best and the worst of them. We're in the Advent season, Tom. Tom, you must love Advent, you know.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. I've always loved Advent. Not just because every time Advent Sunday, every time my birthday is on a Sunday, it's always Advent Sunday at the beginning of December, though that has a kind of special flavor too. But I grew up in a church-going family, and from the age of 7, I was singing in a local parish church choir. And of course, Christmas is one of the times for which you rehearse and you learn all the hymns and you get all sorts of things ready. And so the Christmas hymns go with that sense of expectancy in my mind. And as a result, there are many that I came to love from early on, which only much later did I stop and think, hang on, just what are we saying in this hymn? And there are some which come out really well, and others which make me think, now, we probably shouldn't be saying that. So, I mean, let me give you an example of each there. There's the wonderful one, which is sometimes actually sung still in Latin, Adeste Fidelis, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come to Bethlehem, come and behold him born, the King of Angels. It's about God coming in person into our world. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Those are phrases, of course, taken from the Nicene Creed, and there they are in the hymn. So it's kind of teaching people the faith of the incarnation, of God's homecoming, which, as you know, is a theme I've been working on a lot. And that hymn ends gloriously with the verse which we always used to save just for Christmas morning. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father now in flesh appearing, which is of course summarizing John 1:1-14 in one neat poetic phrase. But then the idea of adoration as well. Oh, come, let us adore him. And I mean, I've sometimes said in sermons, what do you find yourself adoring? Do you adore a wonderful view? Do you adore a really good meal when you've been particularly hungry? Do you adore your new grandchild, whatever it may be? Because adoring, it's a pretty strong word. And I wonder how many Christians actually would naturally use that word in terms of their relationship to Jesus, to the baby Jesus. I mean, St. Francis obviously was famous for having this Christmas crib, and he would literally adore. He would pick up the Christ child from the crib and just kneel down. This is not idolatry. This is looking through the small wooden or whatever doll to the fact of God being born as a baby in our midst, which is just awe-inspiring. And so that's a hymn which really speaks of and gives us a vehicle for the awe-inspiringness. Now, at the other end of the scale, there's a little song which we used to teach the children and which I learned as a children, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed, which is all very well until you come to Little Lord Jesus, No Crying He Makes. And I want to say, A, how do you know that? And B, this is probably a docetic view of
Jesus.
Yes,
it's a docetic heresy that has infiltrated Christmas, Tom.
Exactly.
You finally called it out. I'm glad.
and it's not only that, it's the hymn ends, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. And I want to find some way of saying, no, fit us for God's new creation, where God will come and live with us there. And this is part, of course, of what I've been saying for a while in various forums, but it now does make it difficult for me singing that particular hymn. There's another hymn which gets the rather sentimental view of the baby Jesus. Once in Royal David's City has a line which says, Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. And when I sing that or hear it sung, I have this finger of a rather smug a governess or school teacher saying, now then, remember, Jesus was good and he sat down, shut up and had his porridge like a good boy, and you've got to do exactly the same. And I think, come on, this message is revolutionary. This is about God coming into our world. It's not a way of teaching our little children to behave and be good and children should be seen and not heard and so on. So we have to watch out. And likewise, that hymn as well, though the last verse is tremendous to sing, but it's again all about the wrong sort of eschatology. That we will end up with the angels, and that we will, when like stars his children crowned, all in white shall wait around. And I want to say, excuse me, just go and read Revelation chapter 5. God through Christ ransomed humans for God, not so that they would wait around all dressed in some sort of heavenly surplice, but God rescued us so that we could be the royal priesthood, sharing in his creative, energetic work of running the new world. And so I think we should teach people to be a bit more critical of what we sing, and sometimes be prepared either to miss out verses or adjust the words. After all, if you look back at the history of hymnology, then very often people in different generations have quietly changed this verse or that verse. There's no reason. These are not holy writ. There's no reason why we shouldn't do that. One where I used to do it when I was in Durham was that it's a quite interesting carol. I'm not sure as many of our listeners will know it. It came upon the midnight clear. It's quite poetic. It's about the angels singing about peace on earth. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, of angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace upon earth, goodwill to men, was heaven, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. That's a wonderful vision, and it goes on very realistically. But with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong, and man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. That's realistic. That's saying we want the angel's song to be heard in Ukraine, in Gaza, in Somalia, in all the places where there is conflict. And the hymn goes on exploring that and lamenting the present state of the world and bringing the good news of Christmas into the world of serious lament. The trouble is, again, as often with hymns, the last verse lets you down.
Yeah.
Because the last verse there goes like this: for lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold. when peace shall over all the world its ancient splendors sing, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Now, I love the idea of the whole world reflecting the angels' song, but excuse me, the idea that the years are going in a cycle from a golden age to a silver age to a bronze age to an iron age,
yeah,
and then
weird.
If you're lucky, back to gold again, that is some form of ancient stoicism or other various kinds of circular eschatology and paganism. And so when we were in Durham, I sometimes used to insist against the protestations of some of my fellow clergy who I used to ignore that we ought to sing, "For lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold, when in the fullness of God's plan arrives the time foretold." Because we're not going round and round in circles. We are moving forwards towards a day when heaven and earth will come together, which is what the hymn actually at its best is all about. So I want to say, let's celebrate Christmas. Let's give the hymns the best shot we've got, but from time to time, let's sit back, perhaps not in the day before the carol service, because that would be a bit awkward, but at some other time in the year, let's stop and scratch our heads and say, for next Christmas, perhaps we could do this, or perhaps we could add a verse there, or take that one out, and think more wisely about what's actually going on at Christmas. The Bible, of course, will help us to do that if we let it. John 1, that great prologue, and then the scenes in Matthew and Luke. There's plenty there to be working with. So I love Christmas. I'm looking forward to singing Christmas hymns again this year, but there are certain points where I will, under my breath, be singing slightly different words.
Yeah. Well, I agree. Away in a manger needs to go. We've got to shut that one down straight away, find something else. Now, Tom, I'm going to tell you my favorite Christmas hymns, and I want you to give me a green light or a red light, okay? So you tell me whether they meet the approved test. Okay, first one, "Come, O Come, Emmanuel."
Yeah, that's rooted in Old Testament hope as transmitted through various ancient Judean texts, and it's got all these different biblical images of God coming, and it is very much about the coming of God. So I would give that absolutely the double thumbs up and the green light.
It's got the end of exile theme in there as
well. Yeah, it does, absolutely.
I know a topic near and dear to your heart. Next one. "Hark, the herald angels sing."
Yeah, that's great. It's one of those classic 18th century hymns, isn't it? And it goes through all the way to one of my favorite little wrinkles from the book of Malachi, which I've been teaching on recently in chapter 4, where the hymn says, "Life and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings," which is straight out of, "For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out leaping like calves from the stall." There is maybe a sort of a Christmas theme there about the ox and the ass and the camel and so on, and then going and celebrating the birth of the Christ child. So, yeah, and one of the great things that the Wesleys managed to do with their hymns, of course, was to weave together scriptural themes, usually in a very creative but poetic and helpful way, so that people have got those Bible verses resonating in their minds, which they can then go and explore at leisure. So, yeah, that's a goodie.
Yeah, the reason I like that one is I think it's the antidote to a 1990s pop song. I don't remember if you remember this, Tom. I don't know what you're doing in the 1990s with pop music, but there was a song by Joan Osborne called What If God Was One of Us? And it's somewhat melancholic, somewhat nihilistic. It's like, you know, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, just a stranger on the bus trying to get home? No one can call him except maybe the Pope up in Rome. I mean, it's really
you know,
depressing.
I've never heard that song. I think you ought to be singing it, by the way, rather than just saying
no,
it.
No, my wife took out a court order to prevent me singing anything.
Okay.
Singing anything in public. But I find that hymn, you know, veiled in flesh, the Godhead be. What if God was one of us? We can say, well, God was one of us.
God was one of us.
Yeah.
And in a sense, the stranger on the bus or the stranger on the shore, that does have some New Testament resonances. Mm. Who is this man who is calling us from the beach? You know, we're not quite sure who he is. Mm. So I need to go and listen to that. You can recommend me a recording of it.
Yeah, definitely go on to Spotify or something and listen to it there. The final one, and this is one I love as well. It's a little bit less known, but I love it. "Oh, Holy Night."
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. that line we sing, Christ is the Lord. You know, that's like Luke 2:11 in my mind. I really love that with a good singer, a good soprano or something.
Yes, it is often sung as a solo, isn't it, rather than as a congregational hymn. Yes, I don't know that one so well, but I think it's one of the many that go back to German, probably Lutheran traditions, Heilige Nacht, etc. So, there's a rich range to choose from, and it would be good if rather than writing rather trivial little ditties, which a lot of recent Christian worship songs have been, if people actually set themselves the task of let's do some fresh stuff, but let's make it genuinely biblical and genuinely poetical and don't let it degenerate into vaguely sentimental language, which is a curse of our times. Actually.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed. Well, I would love to hear from our various listeners, our subscribers to the show. What are their favorite hymns, and what are the hymns that make them grind their teeth or kind of scrape their nails on the chair? So please let us know in the appropriate forums what are your favorite, best, and worst Christmas carols and hymns. But in this Advent season, that is all we have time for today. I'm Mike Bird.
And I'm Tom Wright.
And we'll see you for the next episode of Ask NT Write Anything.